WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Mishandling classified documents and refusing to readily turn them over. That's what federal authorities are alleging in a historic 7-count indictment against former President Trump.
Prosecutors telling the former president to be in court on Tuesday in Miami to face arraignment. Sources telling ABC News Trump is facing multiple charges, ranging from illegal retention of government documents regarding national security to conspiracy to obstruction of the government's efforts to retrieve those documents.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. ABC News learning there's an audio tape of Trump from 2021 where he admits to taking top secret materials and being unable to declassify them since he was no longer president. Trump is expected to surrender to federal authorities on Tuesday. His reaction to the indictment?
He's a pretty tough-hided person, so he's not, you know, crumbling in fear or anything remotely like that.
Trump attorney James Trusty on Good Morning America. This is ABC News. Due in court today in Birmingham, Alabama, the prime suspect in the disappearance of teen Natalie Holloway 18 years ago in Aruba. Jurrin Vandersloot has been extradited from Peru, where he's serving decades behind bars for an unrelated murder. He's facing charges in the U.S. for allegedly trying to extort thousands of dollars from the Holloway family. The person at the center of the impeachment of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, now under arrest. ABC's Jim Ryan has the story.
Austin real estate investor Nate Paul was the subject of an FBI raid in 2019. He filed an open records request to learn the basis for the search warrant. Investigator Therese Bue says that sort of information would never be disclosed to a person targeted by a federal probe. But in this case,
General Paxton thought it was unfair that Nate Paul could not have access to his own search warrant information.
And now Paul has been arrested on unspecified federal charges. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Lindsay Watts, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. An Eau Claire man is charged after allegedly hitting a teenager with a gun. 40-year-old Dennis Peterson was charged with 5 felonies and 2 misdemeanors, all with the use of a dangerous weapon, after firing a handgun during an argument with a group of teenagers, according to online court records and a release from the Eau Claire Police Department. A 17-year-old boy needed stitches after being hit by the gun, but no one else was hurt. Peterson's next court appearance is in July. A man accused of stabbing his mother in the neck in Barron County is charged with attempted homicide, according to online court records. 30-year-old Michael Townsend is being held on a $50,000 cash bond at the Barron County Jail after the Barron County Sheriff's Department said he stabbed his 54-year-old mother in the neck after an argument over money. The woman was flown to a hospital in Eau Claire. And in the state softball championships, in their semifinal games, both Grantsburg and McDonald fell in heartbreakers yesterday. Their seasons have concluded. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon. Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Mankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Back 6 minutes after 9 o'clock now. BB King on a Friday morning on the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. And we're talking about a lot of different things today. It's the big indictment day after Trump being indicted yesterday, second time just in the last couple of months. And we've been discussing that indictment thing quite a bit. So I think I'm going to move on to something else. But let me ask you this. Do you think it matters where people live as far as their political views? And what I mean is, does it matter if they live in the city or in the suburbs or in a small town or out in a rural area? Well, there's some evidence that shows that it may make a difference in how people view politics. I found a piece in The Nation by P.E. Moskowitz, who runs Mental Health, a newsletter about capitalism and psychology, also the author of the forthcoming book called Rabbit Hole, a reported memoir on drugs and American life. And the headline in this piece from The Nation says, America's suburbs are breeding grounds for fascism. Is that right? Is that what you think? It may be so. This piece starts out by saying the target closest to where I sit is in Torrington, Connecticut. It's next to a Home Depot, a Wendy's, a Walgreens, a Walmart, and a Chipotle. Driving is the only option here, unless you're willing to take the one available bus from downtown and then walk along one of two large highways that bisect the area. If you drive down a few miles, roads without sidewalks appear, on which sit houses for sale, four bedrooms, new construction, two-car garages, and gray exteriors. Places like this are the most common form of American life. As of 2017, 52% of Americans lived in the suburbs. There are, of course, differences between, say, a suburb in Connecticut and a suburb in Texas, but they're all variations on a formula, and lives lived in suburban areas tend to revolve around the same kinds of places and the same kinds of ideology. And so it makes sense that these are now the places where fascism grows. That's what these places were designed for. The suburbs were invented as a reactionary tool against the women's liberation and civil rights movements. The U.S. government, in concert with banks, landowners, and home builders, created a way to try and stop all that by separating people into single homes, removing public spaces, and ensuring that every neighborhood was segregated via redlining.
The suburbs would keep white women at home and would keep white men at work to afford that home. These were explicit goals of the designers. Quote, "No man who owns his house and lot can be a communist," said the creator of Levittown, the model suburb. Quote, "He has too much to do." Can't be a communist because he has too much to do. This piece from The Nation goes on and says the reason Target has become the locus of today's particular right-wing backlash is the same reason countless viral TikToks attempt to convince women that they're at risk of being kidnapped every time they're in a parking lot. It's the reason why true crime is one of the most popular podcast genres in America, and why many refuse to travel without a gun by their side and shoot people if they set foot on their driveway. Hate against trans people is rising, but the suburbs are what give this hate its fervor and popularity. A million Torringtons, a million of the same location, in different locations, in which any difference or anything out of place or spontaneous is perceived as a threat. That reminds me of that book, A Wrinkle in Time. And one of the scenes in that book, when they were in a suburban area and every house looked the same and the same thing was going on in each house. But anyway, getting back to this piece. It is, of course, true that these mass hysterias are part of an organized right-wing movement that is attacking human rights across the country through legislation banning abortion, gender-affirming care, and books, making it illegal for educators to teach American history accurately. But the shape this movement has taken is not coincidental. It is, in fact, the product of the unique shape of public life in America, or lack thereof. Suburbanites do not have town squares in which to protest. They do not have streets to march down. Target has become the closest thing many have to a public forum. And when I say Target, I'm talking about the store, the retail store. It says we often hear that urban areas are more liberal and suburban ones more conservative. And we're often told that this is because of race. That may be partly true, though cities are now whiter than ever and suburbs are now more diverse than ever. Instead, it may be that suburbanism itself, as an ideology, breeds reactionary thinking and turns Americans into people constantly scared of a big bad other. The suburban doctrine dictates that public space be limited and conflict-free where it exists, that private space serve only as a place of commodity exchange, that surveillance, hyper-individualism, and constant vigilance are good and normal and keep people safe. It is an ideology that extends beyond the suburbs. It infects everything. Even cities, as Sarah Schulman writes in The Gentrification of the Mind, have become places where people expect convenience and calmness over culture and community. What is a life of living in a surveilled and amenity-filled high-rise and ordering all your food and objects from the internet to your door, if not a suburban life? To make matters worse, the people who have adopted this mindset do not see it as an ideology, but as the normal and right state of the world. They, as Schulman writes, look in the mirror and think it's a window. So when anything, even a gay t-shirt, disrupts their view, they become scared. The anti-trans panic at the center of the Target controversy says something dark about American politics, but it says something even darker about the American landscape, about the places and ways we choose to live. Without a massive reorganization of American life, away from privatization, car centrism, and hyper-individualism, it's likely the suburban ideology will remain popular and even grow. A piece in The Nation from P.E. Moskowitz. And what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Do you think that's correct? Does it really make that much difference where people live? Well, I think it may to some degree, you know, when you look at it like that, you know, as living in the suburbs without sidewalks, everybody's in their car. There's a lost sense of community, or there is no sense of community when everybody is in their car and you don't have sidewalks in front of your house. And you don't see people walking past, you know, if you've ever lived in the city and especially in areas just outside of downtown, there are people walking past your house all the time, walking dogs on their way to work or on their way to school. And sometimes you stop and you talk to people, or they stop and talk to you. There's a sense of community. These are the people in my neighborhood, right? If you ever watch Sesame Street, right? These are the people in my neighborhood. And that's a good thing, right? Communicating with your neighbors, getting to know them, who's in your neighbor or in your neighborhood. Anyway, let's take another music and commercial break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No, we tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly, different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Weather is brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. With spring here and summer right around the corner, it's the perfect time to take the family to enjoy a feature film. See scheduled showings and find out how to rent the theater by logging on AmoryTheater.com.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at sounditouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 81. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Slight chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 60. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 77. Overcast skies. Upper 60s Sunday. Mid 70s Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Without You is a drag. Music from Swamp Dog with some help from Justin Vernon on a Friday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. 24 minutes after 9 o'clock, you're tuned into your local civic media radio station, the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, and you can join us on the phone if you want to chime in on anything we've been discussing so far this morning, the phone number is 715-388-7155. And we do have some breaking news from the Green Bay area concerning the election next year. It says, this is from the Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says, Wisconsin Representative Mike Gallagher says he will not run for Senate in 2024, leaving an open GOP field. It was thought that he was the one who was going to run against Tammy Baldwin, but now he says he will not. And this piece from the Journal Sentinel says Wisconsin Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher said he will not run for Senate in 2024, leaving wide open the Republican field for a seat in a key battleground state that could help decide who controls Congress's higher chamber. It says Gallagher told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that he will not challenge Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin next year and rather plans to run for a fifth term representing the state's 8th congressional district. A big factor in his decision, he said, is his current position in the House. Quote, I'm staying in the House and leading the Select Committee on China because our work is simply too important to be a part-time job, said Gallagher, who was tapped late last year to chair a new committee tasked with exploring the U.S.'s competition with the Chinese Communist Party. Quote, we have a fleeting moment, a rare opportunity to forge a bipartisan consensus around the actions necessary to defend America from Chinese Communist Party aggression and win this new Cold War. That mission is too important and too exciting for me to abandon. End quote. The announcement officially puts to bed rumors the Green Bay Republican might mount a challenge to Baldwin, and it significantly reshapes the early race in Wisconsin, where no Republican has officially announced a run. It came just over a week before Wisconsin Republicans meet in La Crosse for their state party convention. Party officials in both Wisconsin and on Capitol Hill had been hoping Gallagher decided to make a bid for Senate as Republicans look to flip the chamber back into their control. Senator Steve Daines, chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, had put pressure on Gallagher to run, telling the Journal Sentinel last month that Gallagher would be, quote, a very strong candidate. Interesting. Now, do you suppose there's a chance that some internal polling showed him he didn't have a chance to beat Baldwin? Yeah, I don't know. There's no way to know that right now, but Gallagher said he's not going to run for Senate. He's going to stay in the House. It'll be interesting to see who steps up to run against Tammy Baldwin. Let's take a break. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station. I yell, baby, baby, because that's what love's about. She drove me here and there. She drove me everywhere. And when she dropped the top, I didn't want to stop. We rode it round and round. She drove me to the ground. She made the tranny pop. Loves her bands. She hates my other job. She says I'm never home, and so her Benz has got to roam. She drives the avenues. She cruises.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Mishandling classified documents and refusing to readily turn them over. That's what federal authorities are alleging in a historic 7-count indictment against former President Trump.
Prosecutors telling the former president to be in court on Tuesday in Miami to face arraignment. Sources telling ABC News Trump is facing multiple charges, ranging from illegal retention of government documents regarding national security to conspiracy to obstruction of the government's efforts to retrieve those documents.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. ABC News learning there's an audio tape of Trump from 2021 where he admits to taking top-secret materials and being unable to declassify them since he was no longer president. Trump is expected to surrender to federal authorities on Tuesday. His reaction to the indictment?
He's a pretty tough-hided person, so he's not, you know, crumbling in fear or anything remotely like that.
Trump attorney James Trustee on Good Morning America. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. An Eau Claire man is charged after allegedly hitting a teenager with a gun. 40-year-old Dennis Peterson was charged with five felonies and two misdemeanors after firing a handgun during an argument with a group of teenagers, according to online court records and a release from the Eau Claire Police Department. A 17-year-old boy needed stitches after being hit by the gun, but no one else was hurt. Peterson's next court appearance is in July. Yesterday at the state softball championships in Madison at Goodman Diamond, there was drama. First, in Division I, Superior defeated Menominee Falls 6-5, staying undefeated on the year. They'll play Sun Prairie East later tonight in a Division I semifinal. In Division IV, the defending champion Grantsburg fell in a heartbreaker to Iola Scandinavia 5-3, and Grantsburg finishes 26-4 on the year. Then, just before midnight, Stevens Point Pacelli used a 5-run 7th inning to walk off McDonald 8-7 and advance to the title game. The championships are tomorrow. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cusk.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I like
try to.
Yeah, I'm talking about Boogie On Reggae Woman. Stevie Wonder on a Friday morning, providing some sounds that we had never heard before that song came out. And I hope you're having a good day so far. Friday, almost the weekend. And if you have any comments on things we've been discussing so far on the Stu Daniels Show, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. Just before the break, we were discussing some breaking news from Wisconsin, the Green Bay area. Mike Gallagher said he's not going to run for the Senate against Tammy Baldwin. So what do you think's going to happen now? Who will be the nominee for the Republicans? And by the way, if you are a person who normally votes for Republicans, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. Who do you think the Republicans should put up against Tammy Baldwin? And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I was reading from this article in the Journal Sentinel about this story. It says that Senate Democrats this cycle are defending 23 seats. Okay, Democrats have 23 seats up for election next year, while only 10 Republicans are up for re-election. Okay, right now, of course, Democrats currently have a two-seat majority, but with 23 Democrats up for election or re-election and 10 Republicans, then things could shift. Gallagher, in an interview, stressed that his focus is on his district and what he called the existential competition with China. In the first 5 months of the year, his committee has held hearings exploring the nation's economic ties to China, reports of human rights abuses by China's communist government, and the various ways the U.S. can deter the CCP from a potential invasion of Taiwan. He told the Journal Sentinel he believes his committee can have a, quote, profound impact on U.S. national security and the future of U.S. foreign policy. I want to go all in on that and continue to represent Northeast Wisconsin, he said. As a result, you can't run the kind of 24/7 campaign that we'd need to defeat Tammy Baldwin and help Republicans win back the Senate. So who will run against Tammy Baldwin? This story says, despite no official campaign announcement from Republicans, a number of people are considering challenging Baldwin in 2024, and some of these may be names that you've heard in the past. For instance, Republican Tom Tiffany, who represents the state's 7th congressional district, told the Journal Sentinel this week he would make public his decision after the July 4th holiday, quote, probably end of July, August, something like that, he said, noting he had a lot of people yet to talk to about it. Gallagher's decision, as well as Republican Representative Brian Stiles' repeated claims that he will seek re-election in the 1st Congressional District, leave the door open for Tiffany. Other potential contenders include Madison businessman Eric Hovde, Franklin Staffing Company Chairman Scott Mayer, and are you ready for this? Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Come on, man. Story goes on and says Gallagher declined to weigh in on who he'd like to see run in Wisconsin, but he said he believed he could have beaten Baldwin in 2024, adding that he thinks there are a number of Republicans who can beat Tammy Baldwin. He called Baldwin's positions way left of mainstream Wisconsin voters. Polling doesn't show that, but anyway, story goes on and says, still, Baldwin is a proven fundraiser and has a record of beating her opponents by large margins in a state where races are often decided by less than a percentage point. Quote, I don't know who wants to run, but I look forward to seeing who gets in the field, and I intend to provide any support I can to our nominee to beat Baldwin, Gallagher said. I'm just looking for a qualified, common sense conservative who can win. Well, good luck. That story from the Journal Sentinel, Mike Gallagher not getting in to the race against Tammy Baldwin. And yesterday, just before my show ended, we had some breaking news from the Supreme Court. And it was interesting because after tearing apart, breaking down, and I guess, just dismantling most of the Voting Rights Act. Yesterday, five Supreme Court justices upheld what's left of that law. This headline from the New York Times says Supreme Court gives the Voting Rights Act a tenuous lease, a new lease on life. The main remaining power of the landmark 1965 law over racial bias in political map making gets an unexpected buttressing from a court that had been weakening the law for years. This report is from Michael Wines. It says the Supreme Court's surprising decision on Thursday to effectively reaffirm the remaining powers of the 1965 Voting Rights Act as halted, at least for the foreseeable future, the slide toward irrelevance of a landmark civil rights law that reshaped American politics. In 2013, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote an opinion that effectively gutted the heart of the act, a provision that gave the Justice Department a veto over changes in election procedures in states with histories of racial bias in elections. 2 years ago, an opinion written by Justice Samuel Alito greatly weakened the law's authority over polling rules that reduced the clout of minority voters. Supporters of the act expected the court to take an axe to the law's chief remaining authority over political maps in the latest case, Allen v. Milligan, a suit charging that Alabama had drawn its seven congressional districts to illegally limit black voters' influence to a single House seat. Instead, Chief Justice Roberts, writing for the majority in a 5-4 ruling, reaffirmed the law's authority over racially biased maps and the arcane structure of legal precedents and court tests that underpin it. Chief Justice Roberts and a second conservative justice, Brett Kavanaugh, indicated that though they joined the majority in this case, they still harbored reservations about the law, and in a court that has been willing to toss out precedents, a one-vote majority may be a slim reed. Even so, voting rights advocates say the court's unexpected turn, and particularly the support from Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, a longtime skeptic of the Voting Rights Act, was heartening. The act is hanging by a thread, and that thread's name is probably John Roberts, said Brian L. Sells, a Georgia lawyer who was a special litigator of voting rights cases in the Justice Department from 2010 to 2015. Bernard Groffman, an election law scholar at the University of California, Irvine, called Thursday's ruling, quote, an incredibly strong opinion, far stronger than anyone, certainly I, would have anticipated coming out of this court. Professor Groffman, whose expert testimony was pivotal in defining the scope of the law in a 1985 Supreme Court case, Thornburg versus Gingles, said the majority opinion addressed each of the main arguments of those who'd like to end the Voting Rights Act and replace it with race-blind districting, and those arguments are completely rejected. The case involves a clause in the act known as Section 2 that outlaws any election or voting practice that denies minority voters an equal voice at the polls. Section 2 has been used mostly to attack political maps that are drawn intentionally or not in ways that dilute the power of minority group voters. Over the years, court decisions have set out a dense set of standards for defining such maps and have said that while any maps that are drawn to replace them can take race into account, they must be based primarily on other long-standing district drawing goals, like keeping together communities with common interests. Alabama Republicans mounted a wide-ranging defense against the lawsuit's claims that their district maps were biased, but their most notable argument rested on a premise that has become a conservative article of faith, that racial discrimination should be addressed with race-blind solutions. The Alabama legislators had argued that the way to judge any bias in their maps was not by using the established standards, but by comparing them with sheaves of computer-generated hypothetical maps that were drawn without any regard to race. By that standard, they said, their challenged map met benchmarks for fairness. Chief Justice Roberts rejected that argument as compelling, neither in theory or practice, a response that conservative critics sharply questioned on Thursday. The National Republican Redistricting Trust, an arm of the National Republican Party, said it, quote, maintains an indecipherable status quo. Interesting. You have an opinion on that? Feel free to call in 715-388-7155. Going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
And isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones, so it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older, and sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen, now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel! It's your Ethel, turn!
Calm down! What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 81. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 60 tonight, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. High of 77, cloudy skies expected. Highs around 69, Sunday, under mainly clear skies. 75, Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Lupe came here from Mexico about 3 or 4 years ago. And the journey, she got a job at a local factory. Sent money back home to her family. She said, this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. A man arrived from.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Stu Daniels Show. Got a few more minutes here. This is our final segment. I had a good time today talking about lots of things. And one thing I want to get to before we wrap things up, and by the way, your calls are still appreciated. If you want to give us a call, 715-388-7155. And if you were on Badger Care Plus in Wisconsin, if you have health coverage, your health coverage through Badger Care Plus, you probably heard that Wisconsin is checking to see if you still qualify for Badger Care Plus. And in the Journal Sentinel, I found an article that says, here's how to keep your health coverage. And it says, over the next year, Wisconsin residents enrolled in Badger Care Plus or another Medicaid program will have to renew their coverage for the first time in over 3 years. It is a massive undertaking known as Medicaid unwinding that could result in an estimated 300,000 Wisconsinites losing Medicaid coverage. Many of those people will have health coverage through their employer, but others could lose coverage simply because they didn't renew in time, even though they still qualify for Badger Care Plus or another Medicaid program. A December report by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Urban Institute estimated that about 49,000 Wisconsinites who lose Medicaid coverage will become uninsured over the next year. Man, imagine not having any kind of health insurance. Here's what you need to know about renewing Badger Care Plus or other Medicaid benefits. They say unwinding refers to the process of states resuming their reviews of Medicaid recipients' eligibility, a practice that was on hold during the pandemic. For the first time since March of 2020, people enrolled in Badger Care Plus and other Medicaid programs will need to renew their benefits by showing they still qualify for them. That's done by submitting updated information about things like income, household size, and insurance. You'll need to renew your benefits by an assigned due date. You'll lose your benefits if you do not complete the renewal by the due date. And that due date will differ from person to person. Your due date is anywhere between June of 2023, in other words, now, and May of 2024. So some people might have almost another year, but try to check on that. It says double check the year of your due date. You should have received a letter in the mail with that renewal due date. The letter would have arrived in late March or early April from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. You can also find your due date online by logging into your Access account at access.wi.gov or by using the My Access mobile app. If you don't have an account, you can create one online at that same website, access.wi.gov. Also, you should receive a packet in the mail about a month and a half before your due date with details about your renewal. A digital version of the packet will also show up in your Access account. It says here to wait until the month of your due date to renew, but make sure to submit your renewal by the middle of that month, state officials urge. That gives local agencies time to process your renewal and ensures you don't temporarily lose coverage if local agencies are experiencing a backlog in processing renewals. Officials recommend you renew your coverage online since call centers may be overwhelmed. Go to that website, access.wi.gov, to complete the renewal by submitting information about household, income, insurance, and other details. You may need to submit proof of information. The easiest way to submit documents is by using the My Access mobile app to take a picture. You can also renew by phone or in person by contacting the local agency in charge of enrolling people in Badger Care or other Medicaid programs. You can find your local agency at, are you going to write this down? This is a little long, but it says you can find your local agency at DHS, that's Department of Health Services, dhs.wisconsin.gov/forward health/IM agency. That's IMAGENCY. dhs.wisconsin.gov/forward health/IM agency. IMAGENCY. It says here, however, your local agency may experience high call volumes that result in longer wait times than normal, and you may also submit your renewal by mail. You should receive a paper renewal packet in the mail about a month before your renewal due date. You can download the My Access mobile app for free in the App Store, also Google Play, and search for My Access Wisconsin in either the App Store or Google Play. The developer listed on the app will be the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. All right, so if you are on Medicaid, Badger Care Plus, then you want to get on top of that. Find out when your due date is so you don't lose your health coverage. That's important stuff these days. And that about wraps up another edition of the Stu Daniels Show. Thank you for tuning in today. That wraps up this week. And so thanks again to Mike Crute for filling in for me on Monday and Tuesday. Thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Aaron Zomers, back in the headquarters of Civic Media in Madison. Did a great job, bud. I appreciate all your help. And thanks to all you listeners who tuned in. I hope you have a great week or a great weekend. And I'll see you Monday morning, 8 o'clock.
It's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
This is Rummage Sale Ruth, and I love rummage sale deals. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now at 609-949-8989. That's 609-949-8989. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. Bye now.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim.